Seekers, Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around. We have a rather fiery program for you tonight. We have a guest coming up at 10 o'clock. Only going to have him on for a few minutes, and I want you to hear this guy. His name is Larry Zamba. He's with a Z. He's a Democrat running for Wisconsin State House. I mean, this is not somebody that you can vote for unless you are in Wisconsin. You want to vote for this guy. But he sent me an email. I'll share it with you a little bit later, but Larry's going to join us a little after 10. Hang around for a couple of minutes. I just want you to hear his story, okay? Report is out. Ten Republicans and four Democrats. 10 Republicans and four Democrats in the Alaska legislature have concluded that Governor Sarah Palin abused her power. That's according to a report just released by the Legislative Council. The report found that Governor Palin violated the state's Executive Branch Ethics Act, which says that, quote, each public officer holds office as a public trust, and any effort to benefit a personal or financial interest through official action is a violation of that trust. We'll get to that a little bit later in the program, but the hoe from Wasilla, who has been doing her damnedest to paint Barack Obama as being unethical, which is just astonishing that somebody who has all the qualifications to be vice president as don't even go there. She's just not qualified. She's a punk. She's a female version of a punk. She's just a punk ass. She's a smart mouth. She's a stupid person who has been going after her betters, and that is just about 90% of anyone she comes in contact with, but especially Barack Obama and Joe Biden. You know, to see somebody out of the gutter, which is exactly where Sarah Palin comes from, it's where she will go back to when this farcical Republican campaign is finished. But to see someone of her caliber attacking her betters, trying to pull them down to her level, trying to reduce decent people down to the level of terrorist or liar or whatever. It's just astonishing to watch this. What is more astonishing, though, is to watch the reaction of the audiences that go to these filthy McCain-Palin rallies. They're getting out of hand. And this is something, you know, you've heard this before. Be careful of the monster you create, because eventually that monster will come back and rip your goddamn head off. And that's exactly what McCain is finding out now. McCain has painted himself into a corner with this attack on Barack Obama's character, this unending assault, to the point, plus all the tangential Republican nutball organizations that are putting these horrendous, hideous reports out. On not reports, but comments out on the web, or putting together YouTube videos, or funding television commercials, all of which are lies about Barack Obama, all of which are insinuating violence against him, insinuating that he is less of a human being. He's not of American. He's not this. He's not that. The pigs have created a monster, and now the monster is coming back to eat them. There's something about Republicans. What's his name was sitting in for Keith Olbermann tonight, pointed this out, going all the way back to the Dukakis campaign in the mid-80s, where Republicans try to paint their opponents as being less of a human being, less of an American, somehow the scary other, less patriotic, more willing to sell out the country. It's incredible. And the weird part, of course, is it has worked. It has worked because America is chock-a-block with dumbasses, total dumbasses. There's a YouTube video. We'll put a link up to it tonight. Of people filing into a McCain-Palin rally. Where was it, Kathy? You remember? I don't either. But across the street are a few Obama supporters with their signs about we need real change. And this video runs for 9 minutes. And the guy who took the video keeps asking people going by, what do you think of Barack Obama? And the stuff that you hear is astonishing. It's just astonishing. You might find it yourself. Just look up Barack, or no, look up a McCain rally hate fest or something like that on YouTube, and you'll find it. I'm sure you'll find it. But now McCain finds himself having to defend Barack Obama's citizenship, his patriotism, his decency as a husband and a father and somebody who simply wants to be president of the United States. And when he defends, McCain is being booed. It's incredible. I mean, what these two, McCain and Palin, have done is, I hope it devours them. I hope it causes McCain to keel over, clutching his chest. I hope Sarah Palin feels her ovaries snap. I really do. They've created this monster. I hope the invisible whip snaps off both their heads. I swear to God I do. Because they've created this. They have reached down into that pit of fear and stupidity that exists inside everyone who votes Republican. Everyone. I don't care. I don't care how educated they are. Deep down inside of a Republican is a pit, a dark hole of fear and resentment and anger and stupidity. It's there. And following the Rove playbook, McCain decided to throw everything aside. Everything that was done to him, he is now trying to do to Barack Obama. And reached into that pit. And what he's come up with is a handful of poisonous vipers. And they are going to bite his ass. And they're going to bite her ass. And they're going to make them both sick. And it's over. Now, it's clear that it's not working. The hull from Wasilla's ratings are in the toilet. Every time she opens her mouth, Obama's lead over McCain is extended. Let them continue to talk. Let this be the death of the Republican Party. Let it die. Let it be kicked to the curb. It's full of snakes, vipers, evil people, scum suckers, fear-mongers, cowards. Let it die. Let it die. But to be booed by your own supporters, as he was today, McCain, during a rally, after he described Barack Obama, this is what he said. Barack Obama is a decent person. And a person you do not have to be scared of as President of the United States. That's a quote. At that point, these filthy pigs in the audience started booing and giving McCain the finger. It's incredible. This is what he's created. Simply now because he says Obama's a decent person and a person you don't have to be scared of. And they freak out. They freak out. McCain was responding to one of these town hall geek attendees who claimed he was concerned about, get this, raising a child under a president who, quote, cohorts, I didn't know that was a verb, cohorts with domestic terrorists such as Bill Ayers, end quote. That's what this freakish Republican jackass said. And at that point, McCain had to say, well, wait. Now, this is despite the fact that McCain and his thugs have repeatedly used Ayers to point out to their mouth-breathing, blank-brained supporters in the past few days, trying to make the case that Obama hangs out with terrorists. Well, you dumb son of a bitch, McCain, you cowardly baby killer, you filthy freak, you created this, and now it's coming up on the stage. It's crawling up around your feet. It's going to start eating you. It's going to eat you. He said, McCain said, Senator Obama, my friends, is a decent person, a person you do not have to be scared about as President of the United States. And if I didn't think I would be one heck of a better president, I wouldn't be running. And the crowd at that point groaned and booed. At an earlier point, McCain said, if you want to fight, we will fight, but we will be respectful. I admire Senator Obama for his accomplishments. And his lynch mob booed that, too. Oh, my God. Then McCain was again pressed about Obama's otherness, and again he refused to play ball. A woman in the audience took the microphone and said, "I don't trust Obama. I've read about him. He's an Arab." And McCain said several times, "No, ma'am," shaking his head in disagreement. "He's a decent family man." But the crowd, these filthy, disgusting Republicans, sat there and booed McCain.
Well shot.
Against right-wing rhetoric, get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. You know, it's kind of pointless to say this, but what McCain is experiencing now is not just the poison that he and the hoe from Wasilla have dumped into so-called political discourse in this country. It's just a continuation of what Lee Atwater started way back for George Herbert Werbert Bush back in the 80s. You know, this poisonous, the idea that you can lie, say anything you want to say, attack somebody, the negative campaigning, all of this garbage that the Republicans have dumped into our political system. They did it for a reason, not just to win elections, but to turn everybody off so most decent people would stay home and these filthy pig bastards could go ahead and steal election after election. To a certain degree, it's worked. But the idea that McCain now finds himself stuck in a position where he has got to defend Barack Obama, defend his Americanness, is going to do what I think is going to happen certainly in the next week. Right-wing talk radio in this country, which has so poisoned everything, so filled the airwaves with lies, Hannity and Limbaugh and Hugh Hewitt and the rest of these miserable bastards should be, I don't know, they should be taken someplace and confined. They really should. This is not First Amendment stuff. This is filling the airwaves with deception, fraud, lies, deceit, poison, hate, racism, anti-Semitism, anything they can get their filthy goddamn hands around. They dump out there for the sake of their paychecks and for their ratings. It's so disgusting. But the millions of people who, and Borts, let me put Borts in there too, the millions of people who listen to this garbage 24/7 across the fruited plain on 600, 700, 800 radio stations on and on and on without goddamn let up. It never stops. Never stops. Corporate America knows they need these sons of bitches for protection, because if the people ever find out what corporate America has done, oh, whoops, huh? Oh, we have found out, haven't we? So the people you see at these rallies, these filthy Republicans, and I call them filthy, maybe I should forgive them their ignorance, but God damn them, let them go to hell. Let them just disappear. Get out of my country. Go away. Go back from whatever swamp you crawled out of. I don't like you. You're poison. You stink up the air. You make it hard for me to breathe. I can't think straight. My child has to walk the same goddamn streets as you do. I have to drive the same highways as you do. Get out with your hate and your filth and your deception and your lies and your deceit and all of the poison you put into my system. Go away. Go away. Go live in hell. Get out of my face. Get out of my country. Get out of my ears. But there they are at McCain rallies. Well, he's an Arab. Well, he hangs out with terrorists. And then McCain, this miserable, creepy, cancer-eating son of a bitch standing up there saying, "Well, now, wait a minute, my friends. We just have some disagreements. Hey, John, you have been doing your best, you and your hoe from Wasilla, to pump these sick bastards full of so much vitriol, so much hatred. How many Timothy McVeighs have you created this past week? Huh? John, you and these goddamn thieving bastards on Wall Street. How many have you created? This is what Republicans do. They cannot govern. They are scum. They're worse than useless. So they go for this, and they've been doing this for the past 25 years. Divisiveness, I don't care how you pronounce it. Hate. The other. Oh, liberals are bad! McCain, stand there and say over and over again that Obama is look at McCain's ads! But the right-wing talk schmucks, this filth, that corporate America pays tens of millions of dollars to. How much longer? Some of the radio stations that carry my program, shame on you people for carrying these right-wing thug bastards. Shame on you. And shame on your corporate masters. And shame on your syndicators for putting this filth out there. So when is this going to stop? It's going to stop when the radio station syndicators and the big boys in radio come to the realization that maybe respect for their country is more important than making a few bucks off of a pig like Limbaugh or a punk like Hannity. Shame on you radio station syndicators. Shame on you networks for putting this out here relentlessly. With no balance, no countervailing force. Who do we have that counters this? Randy Rhodes, Mike Malloy, Rachel Maddow, Tom Hartman, who? 70 Miller, Sam Cedar, how many of us are left? You dirty bastards.
Mention yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more of Mike Malloy.
All right, 25 before the hour, in case you don't know this, I'm sure you do, 10 Republicans and 4 Democrats in the Alaska legislature, a committee to investigate abuse of power, have issued a report that concludes that Governor Sarah Palin did, in fact, abuse her power and violated the state's Executive Branch Ethics Act, which says that, quote, each public officer holds office as a public trust, and any effort to benefit a personal or financial interest through official action is a violation of that trust, end quote. Does that mean she's going to jail? No, hell no. Does that mean she's going to get fined? No, hell no. What does it mean? It means she's a goddamn liar. And as we said earlier this week, she is being pimped by John McCain. She's being pimped to the religious right. She's being pimped to the idiots in this country, being pimped to the anti-Catholics, being pimped to the Republicans who are absolutely without a brain. Therefore, since she's being pimped and is a willing partner in the pimping, she is a whore, a W-H-O-R-E whore, or as I'm fond of saying, a hoe. They found the hoe guilty today of violating the public trust and abusing her power. Oh, by the way, the video, if you want to see this, it's go to YouTube and search for Sidewalk to Nowhere. Now, it's also at Crooks and Liars. It's at BuzzFlash. It's at Huffington Post, on and on and on. But just go to YouTube and do a search on Sidewalk to Nowhere and take a look at McCain's supporters. take a look at who they are and what they are, and maybe that'll, you know, for those of you, especially people who just find this program, and they go, Jesus, God, who is this nutcase with the bad language melting down? What's going on? Did they open the door to the asylum? Who is this guy? I am a pissed off American. I am a liberal. I believe in this country. I love my country. I hate what the Republicans have done to us. I hate what the Democrats have done in allowing the Republicans to do it. I would love to see a Democratic Party with some spine. Not Democrats, as Bart Kopp says, who are pink tutu Democrats. No thank you. So, Kate writes, what the blank is wrong with being Arab? This is where this dumbass white woman at the McCain rally said, well, Barack Obama's an Arab. Doesn't that just show you the evil influence of right-wing talk radio? That I'm not saying because the guy's an Arab, because the woman thinks he's an Arab, but because what being an Arab has come to mean to these jackasses. So Kate writes, what the blank is wrong with being an Arab? Isn't any Arab a decent family man? On the corporate infotainment tonight, they kept repeating the story, but not one of the small-minded, oops, can't say that, blanks or blanks defended the Arab people. Is it too much? Is it too much like saying nits make lice? Or the only good Indian is a dead Indian. I'm not sure I understand that, Kate. And that's what wrong. And that is what is wrong with this country. 200 plus years, 400 plus years, and they are still in charge. I guess I'm kind of lost there, Kate. I'm sorry. I think I get the drift of what you're saying. Yeah, to declare that being Arabic or being a Muslim somehow reduces you. It's amazing what has happened. Jesus, God, in how many short years has this happened? Ever since Pappy Bush decided to invade Iraq for no reason. None. And then Bill Clinton maintained for 8 years sanctions against Iraq that cost the lives of at least 2 million Iraqis, a huge percentage of which were children. God damn it, children. And then George Walker Bush. And the poison constantly being injected into every body opening in the American body politic by these right-wing scum on radio. Constant divisiveness, hate, lies, stinking lies about everybody, about Jews, about Arabs, about liberals, about progressives, about Democrats, about immigrants. Oh, my God. You ever heard of James T. Harris? Let's play this, Kathy. This is from a rally, I think it was yesterday or today. The only black face in the audience gets a microphone for one of John McCain and the hull from Wasilla's so-called town hall little rallies, right? And as you look at this crowd, all you see are white people. And most of them just look like the kind of white people that if you saw walking down the street, you would just run. You wouldn't get to the other side of the street. You'd run. I would anyway. So somehow the black guy gets the microphone. And listen to what he says. Listen to this exchange. Listen.
Listen, I want to say, first of all, God bless you, Governor Palin. You are a barracuda. We need that. I would also like to say God bless you, Senator, for your service for this country and for your leadership. Now, Senator, at the convention, you asked for us to fight for you. You asked that. I have to tell you, I doubt there's anyone in this room that's taken the, pardon me, the ass whooping I have taken for supporting you and for your causes. Sir, I believe that in the next coming debate, it is absolutely vital that you take it to Obama, that you hit him where it hits. It's a soft spot. Sir, Acorn is out there. We have the good Reverend Wright. We have Flagler. We have all of these shady characters that have surrounded him. We have corruption here in Wisconsin and voting across the nation. I am begging you, sir. I'm begging you. Take it to you.
Thank you for your courage. I believe your reward will be in heaven, not here on earth, and I thank you.
Your reward will be in heaven. Isn't that what white folks have been telling black folks for 400 years? Huh? Way to go, John. All right, now the guy who's saying that is a talk show host, on 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee. In other words, the sneaky, slimy little rat bastard was nothing more than a plant. He didn't stand up and say, "Hi, I'm a talk show host." This is what the Republicans do. So McCain stands there and lets this little snake say all this negative stuff. "Oh, you're a great American, Senator Palin." Of course, this was earlier today before the report was released. It says she abused her power as governor of Alaska. WTMJ, 6:20 a.m. in, I believe, Milwaukee. You might want to send him an email. Huh? James T. Harris. Yeah, he's looking for fame. Give it to him. Give it to him. Oh, he's got a website, jamestharris.com. Oh, my God. I am just so freaked out. This one you're going to find interesting. This is from what newspaper is this? Oh, hell, I don't know. It's a newspaper in Albany, New York, upstate New York. On the ballot. Well, let me just read it to you. Democratic presidential candidate Barack Obama's last name is spelled Osama. On hundreds of absentee ballots mailed out this week to voters in Rensselaer County. The misspelling, which election officials on both sides of the aisle insist was simply a typo, is causing embarrassment for the county. A Democratic commissioner, Edward McDonough, says, quote, "No question, it's an honest mistake, innocently done. We catch almost everything." Republican commissioner says, "This was a typo. We have three different staff members who proofed these things, and somehow the typo got by us." Oh, really? Are you people that goddamn stupid in upstate New York? You have three proofreaders? And Osama, Barack Osama, got past you? And you're going to sit there, and I don't know who this Democrat is, but he can go to hell. You're going to sit there and say this was an honest mistake? No, an honest mistake is when you get up in the morning and you're so hungover you put on a black shoe and a brown shoe and go to work. That's an honest mistake. This is not an honest mistake. Officials say the flawed ballots were sent to approximately 300 voters. Oh, well, then no problem. Barack Obama's name is spelled Barack Osama. And the writer of this article for the Albany newspaper says, "Is it a Freudian slip, intentional act, or a mistake? Voters are sure to have opinions." And one politician pointed out that the letters S and B are not exactly keyboard neighbors. Well, that's true. Jesus God. It's a mistake. Barack Osama.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Yeah, you are. And thanks for doing that. It's about 10 before the hour. Don't forget, right after the break at the top of the hour, we're going to talk with a guy named Larry Zamba, Z-A-M-B-A, for a few minutes. He's a Democrat running for the state House of Representatives in Wisconsin. Yeah, but he's got an interesting little story, and I want you to hear it, okay? Acorn, the Acorn Republican trap. Are you just about pulling your eyes out of the sockets about this? In the first place, remember that call I had last night, the freakoid that called in and said something about Barack Obama and Acorn? I asked him what he was talking about, and he couldn't answer. Acorn, first of all, it stands for the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. It was put together back in the 70s, I think. Because I can remember Acorn working in low-income areas here. By low-income, I mean black areas here in Atlanta. They push for education reform. They push for to end predatory lending. They push for affordable housing. This is a group now that Limbaugh and the rest of the pigs are blaming for the financial crisis. They're saying, yeah, well, see, they got all these loans. They forced the bankers, right? Forced the bankers to make all these loans that should not have been made based on the usual standards of who gets a loan. And that pisses me off, too. Let me ask you something. Why, when you buy a house, do you wind up paying three times what the market value? You know, what you buy a house for $150,000. You know how much you're going to pay back over a 30-year mortgage? Who came up with that? Who came up with that? When you buy a car, if you buy it for 20 grand, you don't pay 60 grand over the life of your loan, do you? Sons of bitches. But anyway, Acorn. Acorn now. Oh, my God. Acorn is why we need voter reform. Acorn is why all the black folk need to be carrying photo IDs when they go to vote. Okay, white people, too. But, you know, they really don't count. Acorn. What is Acorn? Why are they going after Acorn? Because that gives the Republicans something once again to divert attention. Now, I got an email here from Richard who says, Mike, the Democrats are registering far more voters than the Republicans. They have no need to commit registration or voter fraud. I believe, Richard writes, Republicans have infiltrated Acorn knowing that the fraudulent voter forms would be found out. In one place in Indiana, all of the forms that turned out to be fraudulent had the same handwriting. This is too serious to let the counties and states take care of it. This has the footprints of the kind of dirty trick that the Republicans are famous for all over it. The FBI should be brought in to check the handwriting. They should be able to check it against their job applications and other job-related paperwork, yada, yada, yada. If it turns out that some Democrats are doing this, they should get a medal for stupidity and be put in prison. Absolutely. And if it turns out to be Republicans, what should they get? One of the goals of the Bush crime family, where it concerned the so-called Justice Department, was to completely destroy the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, a division that was put together back in the 60s because of the horrors that for 350 years had been perpetrated against African Americans, who now, believe it or not, were full citizens with rights to vote, and they could sit downstairs in the mezzanine of the theater and eat in restaurants with white people, and if they felt like it and fell in love with a white person, they could even get married. Well, we got to stop that, right? So the Civil Rights Section Division of the Justice Department was targeted. And the idea was to destroy it, completely destroy it. Because everybody knows all the Negroes vote Democratic, right? So this way, we'll be able to lop off about 5 or 6 million votes. Huh? Destroy it. Kill it. Murder it. And that's what they've been trying to do. The attack on Acorn is that. That's all it is. That is completely what it is. Pam writes, Mike, I think the Bush administration wants to institute martial law, but there's been no uprising from the masses. All of a sudden, all we hear is Acorn. McCain's camp is actually trying to say that the reason he stepped in and stopped the first government bailout was that some of the payments were going to Acorn. The feds are raiding Acorn headquarters for supposed voter registration fraud. This is crazy. But I think, Pam writes, they're trying to get leaders in the black and progressive communities to go to the streets. While at McCain rallies, they're riling up the crowds, calling Obama a terrorist. I think they're trying to get some really ugly street confrontation going. This will allow Bush to cancel the election and take control. It's getting really ugly. I just hope the left can keep a lid on it. I think so. If you want a clear example of the control, not from the left, because Barack Obama is not from the left. I don't care what the Republicans tell you. He is a centrist Democrat. He is a corporate Democrat. Of course, right now, that doesn't seem like such a bad thing, does it? Oh, my God. But Barack Obama is setting the tone. You notice how he lets this human waste that comes out of the mouths of Palin and McCain and the right-wing radio talk show, he just lets it roll off his back. He just lets it roll. Now, one of the reasons he can do that, we talked about the other night, is because growing up black in America, I know he was raised by white grandparents. Okay, had a white mother. Okay, but when you look at him, what do you see? You know what you see. You don't see a white person. Don't forget the one drop rule in this country. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. Doesn't make any difference how white you look. If you've got African heritage, you're an African American. But Barack Obama learned. He learned. He learned how to let the poison from people attacking him, whether they were Republicans, Nazis, or just generally white people who can't stand the idea of equality, racial equality in this country. He just learned to let it roll off his back. And this is driving the right-wingers crazy. This is why the attacks on him are getting more furious, more vicious, more virulent. And John McCain has created a monster that is now going to eat John McCain. And if there is a God, if there is justice, the monster will also eat the Republican Party. And then try not to vomit. Stay with us. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Six and a half past the hour. Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around if you're just joining us. Where were you last hour, huh? Quick email here from A.E. who writes in, Mike, you often repeat the Friedrich Nietzsche quote, if you stare into the abyss long enough, the abyss stares back at you. That seems to fit the general statement you've been making about Republicans this evening, that they have a void in them which gets filled with nothing but hate. Perhaps that's what happens when the abyss stares back at you. You become a hate-filled Republican. It wasn't always like this, A.E. writes. The Republican Party really did start out as a positive force in America a century and a half ago. Now, most Republicans are devoid of anything but hate. The few good people who still call themselves Republican haven't realized yet that their grand old party has stared into the abyss too long. Well, A.E., you're a little more charitable than I am, but okay. Now, we are going to talk about ACORN in just a few minutes. I want to touch on that because that's something that the right-wing crazy people, especially in talk radio, have just been pounding into the knuckle-draggers' heads. But first, we're going to talk with a guy named Larry Zamba. And let me tell you, I got an email from him. I got an email yesterday, I think. Mike, my name is Larry Zamba. I'm running as a Democrat for Wisconsin's 66th, well, you try it, Assembly House seat. I decided early on to win this race against a four-term extremist rubber stamp Republican. named Samantha Kirkman. If I was going to win, I'd have to exercise creativity for media coverage and to get people involved with a positive issue-driven campaign. For example, last weekend we held a recreation of the Boston Tea Party in an attempt to highlight the issues, complete with colonists, a drummer, a boat, and crates labeled with ills of society being heaved overboard. I challenged my opponent to a debate. Previously, we held the Mr. Zamba Goes to Madison Echo Energy Tour, where I've taken my Segway and made a cross-country sweep of the district on one day, doing listening sessions and promoting alternative energy sources. You can see our efforts on 90-second videos at youtube.com/electzamba, Z-A-M-B-A, youtube.com/electzamba. Yesterday, their response, that would be the right-wingers, to my efforts turned into what I would characterize as a violent response. My opponent's supporters, who had been stealing my large signs on a systematic basis for the past 2 months, decided to up the ante. They drove 100 feet through a farmer's field in the middle of the night and smashed through a 64-foot-long homemade billboard that a high school student had created. This backfired on them. So far, coverage has spread on the local Milwaukee NBC affiliate, WJMJ, as well as being reported on the local radio and in the local papers. No response from the opponent other than, "That's unfortunate." This further clarifies the stakes that we're up against, not only vandalism, but also suppressing our First Amendment rights through violent acts. I know you don't do interviews, however, this may be worth reading on the air about how unfortunately sometimes the campaign rubber meets the road out here in Kenosha County, Wisconsin. Joining us now is Larry Zamba. Larry, thanks for taking the time to chat for a minute here.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. This really means a lot to me because you're really good and very enlightening to me at what you do. But, you know, I have a little bit of advice for you.
All right. Let's hear it.
You really shouldn't sugarcoat your comments, you know. I think just give it to the people straight, okay?
Yeah, I know. I've been accused of that. I've lost it, Larry. I've completely lost it. I appreciate people, and I'm sure you do this. You use a lot more creativity in your approach than I'm capable of using any longer. I've tried that. I came through the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. I just can't do it anymore. And so I sit here and do this talk radio program, and I just let it all hang out. But thank God for people like you who still will go out there and try to fight the good fight. I do respect that. What has happened regarding this vandalism against your efforts to become the representative from the 66th?
Well, actually, I just put up a YouTube video a few hours ago. There was after the airing of the spot on TMJ, there was a reprisal, and they came around and battered down more signs.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. So I took a photograph of it and put the what happened up online there. And
But Larry, it's Wisconsin. I mean, my God, the seat of progressive politics in America. How could this be happening in Wisconsin?
Well, once upon a time, we're getting there, though. We're working it. We're trying to take this state back so it can, I think, be once again called a really progressive state. But how did it happen? God, you know the history, you know, getting rid of the fairness doctrine, ad nauseum. We could go on that.
You
cover it much better than I do.
Hey, WTMJ, the radio station, is that the one that has James T. Harris?
Yeah. Well,
The guy who was the plant at the McCain rally?
Yeah, it's all part of the same conglomerate up there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But
they were nice to me. They were nice to me. And, what more can I say? I thought they treated me pretty fairly.
All right, how's your campaign go? Well, James Harris treated you fairly or WTMJ?
No, the interviewer.
Oh, okay.
And the way they edited the piece, I thought it...
You're talking about the television station?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, Harris is on the radio station.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But it's owned by the same corporation.
Sure.
But, I mean, how's the campaign going? Well,
yeah.
I think, that could be felt on two levels. There's the inner level, which whether I win or lose this thing, Mike, I think I'm already a winner because I met a lot of great people, made a lot of new friends, learned a lot about the sexy intrigue of the state's politics. on another level, if I look at, you know, my campaign realistically, I have access to canvassing numbers, I'm sure my opponents are listening so high out there. But right now, according to canvassing data, I've got a 4,000-vote lead. So, But we have a lot of unknown data we have to go through yet.
And right.
There's seat hasn't been held by a Democrat in many, many years. And so, you know, all I can do is just keep doing doors and come home at midnight, you know, and get up at 6 a.m. and start it all over again.
You know, interestingly, Larry, about 12 years ago, here in Atlanta, or here in Georgia, I ran for the Georgia House of Representatives in the 67th House District. Now, when I say I ran, what I mean was I started a campaign, and the woman who's now my wife, Kathy, was my campaign manager, and we gave it a shot. But you know where it broke down for me? And all I needed to win the district was about 16,000 votes, is what my campaign advisor said. If you get 16,000 votes, you're going to win it.
That's about mine, yeah.
But where I lost was I just could not do the fundraising. I couldn't do the dialing for dollars thing. There was just no way I could sit there for 3-4 hours a day calling everybody and their mama saying, please send me money. That's where I lost it. How are you doing with the fundraising?
Well, I'm going to ask you to invite everybody to visit my website.
There's an idea.
a couple extra bucks would never hurt.
What's your website?
ElectZamba.com and click on donate.
All right, ElectZamba, and that's ZAMBA.
Yeah, and
Elect, okay.
Yeah, and then it'll hook you up to a group called Act Blue, and they'll take care of the rest.
Okay. All right. Now, as far as campaign contributions, we're not talking about a lot of money here. If 1,000 people would send you $10, that would help, right?
That would probably cinch the whole thing. As the last report, we outraised her by $3,000, that's never happened before.
Yeah.
People are really, really dissatisfied with her. I run into people who said, I've always voted Republican, and now they're saying they've dropped from the party. It isn't what it used to be, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I've had them, you know, captains of industry, all sorts of people say, I'm on your side. I'm going to help you.
Well, are they sending you any money? That's what it takes.
Yes,
all right,
actually.
Well, good.
It isn't just, best of luck or anything like that. They've been fantastic. And so I think part of this is being able to, meet people on the other side of the aisle or wear two color shoes or some other cliche like that. But I just try to be myself and just be friendly and show some positive plans here, which is, I must say, my opponent, she hasn't really done anything. Now, she has, she's most noted for her bill that she's authored. Now, she's been
Larry, I tell you what, hold on a second. I was hoping we could get this finished, but you're right in the middle of saying something. So hold on. Let me do a break. And we'll come back and chat with Larry Zamba again. ElectZamba.com. Check him out. Check him out.
Through a hole in the air from those nets. square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
Welcome back. It's about 22 and a half past the hour. We're talking with Larry Zamba for another minute or two. He is running as a Democrat for Wisconsin's 66th Assembly House seat. His website is electzamba.com. Now, right before the break, Larry, you were talking about your opponent. Don't talk too much about her, but she's been the Republican, she's been the representative for four terms?
Yes.
And
her most noted accomplishment was to author a bill to make the cranberry the state fruit. And that was pretty much it there. Came straight out of college and as an intern and somehow landed in this seat. She was an intern for her the man who previously had the office.
Right. Well, then, if that's all she's done, she probably hasn't done a whole lot of damage, or has she voted with the mob?
Yeah.
She has.
100%.
Okay. 100%.
Rubber stamp down the line.
Cranberry for the state fruit.
Yeah. That's it. And what's really cool about it is I met the girl that helped her author it. She was a fifth grader.
A fifth grader?
Yeah. And she's now been helping me a little bit with my campaign as a high school kid. So it's kind of an interesting karma thing there.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, and 66 is a tongue twister. I know that. You were asking about, though, I think, or you probably were going to ask, Why am I doing this? Why am I sticking my neck out? And I bet you it was the same reasons you did it. I mean, why did you do it?
I didn't think the district that I ran in was being represented the way it should be. There was a Democrat who held the seat, but I decided that he was too much of a mainstream Democrat. I am not a DLC Democrat. I am more of a DFL Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
I am more of a coalition building Democrat, which, kind of puts me over here a little bit on the left of the Democratic Party. But that's why I decided to run. And then I just didn't follow through. I just lost interest, which is terrible. It's a terrible commentary on my dedication to doing something. The positive other than talk radio, but I ran for probably the same reason you did, not that you have a Democrat incumbent, but because you felt like you could represent the district better.
Exactly, and I would say you and I are probably on the same page in everything. I just got to the point where I had to stand up or shut up. I looked at the state of our health care, our environment, and the economic policies that are straight out of Naomi Klein's book. And,
right,
oh
exactly.
God, I read that a year ago, and everything suddenly made a lot of sense.
I hear you.
So I said, I'm in. I had to use as much creativity as I could to, because that's in my nature, too, to try and win back this district. And I thought if I kind of made politics a little bit of fun, I thought it would be something people would appreciate, something people would, donate more readily to, if they had a little entertainment value for their money.
Well, Larry, I wish you the best, man. I really do. I appreciate the fact that you wrote to me. I'm glad we had a chance to chat, and I hope a lot of people will come to your website, electzamba.com, and if they got an extra $5 or $10, toss a little bit in the hat to contribute to your campaign. Stay in touch. The election is November 4th?
Yeah, November 4th. And,
all right. Well,
yeah, maybe I'll set up to give you a call and let you know.
That'd be great.
How it went down there.
That'll be great. We'll be on the air that night. So if you get some returns early enough to let us know, give me a call. All right.
That sounds fantastic. You've been extremely gracious. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for joining us, Larry. I do appreciate it. Good luck, pal.
All right. You too. Bye bye. Right.
Take care. Yeah. Visit his site, will you? Will you do that favor for me? ElectZamba.com. This is where it starts on the state house level. This is where it starts. Come on. ElectZamba.com. acorn.com. We'll be back after the break. We're going to talk a little more about the Acorn organization. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Nova M.
Between my brothers and my sisters, ah, all over this land. Ooh, 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 ooh. I had a bell. I ring it in the morning. All over this land, I ring out danger. I ring out a warning. I ring about the love between my.
You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
And when the night is cloudy,
it's about 25 before the hour. From the Mail Online, the UK newspaper, a man was shot three times on the street by a racist gunman because the man who was shot was wearing a Barack Obama T-shirt. He can't even vote over here. He lives in London. Shot three times. They were fairly superficial wounds. I don't want to insinuate that any gunshot is a superficial wound, but if you... if you go to the dailymail.co.uk, you'll see his picture. He's sitting there. The guy was buying a mobile telephone card in a store when a white person confronted him and glared at the T-shirt, which carries an image of Barack Obama, and over it the word believe. The white man then launched into a tirade of racist slurs, shouting, "I effing hate the N-word," and screaming at the black man to leave the shop with the white man. The white man then left the shop, but when the black man came out, the attacker was waiting for him in broad daylight with a threatening-looking dog and holding a gun. Realizing what had sparked the increasingly violent assault, the terrified Mr. Egwuatu, the black man, zipped up his jacket to cover the image of Obama and walked to his car. But the shaven-headed man, who was white, followed the black man, and after pulling open the passenger door, he pointed the gun at him. After pleading with the white man to leave him alone, the black man, a married former street warden, whatever that means, put the keys in the ignition and turned the engine on. The attacker then fired the gas-powered ball-bearing pistol three times, hitting the civil servant in the face, the hand, and the shoulder. Fearing for his life and bleeding heavily, Mr. Egwuatu raced away in his car and found somewhere safe to call for help. He was taken to the hospital and later sent to have a piece of metal removed from his jaw. Mr. Egwuatu, a data analyst with Croydon Council, said, quote, "The venom in his voice was frightening. He was telling me he was going to kill me. I couldn't believe it was happening just because I was wearing an Obama T-shirt. He was trying to make me walk somewhere quieter, saying, 'I've got something for you, and I'm going to kill you,'" end quote. The man added, quote, "Obama inspires me. His educational track record alone is quite unbelievable. That's why I was wearing the T-shirt. I did not think for one minute that it could stir up such powerful feelings of hatred. And I never said a word to the man." Mr. Egwuatu, I'm sorry to keep mispronouncing this, but Mr. Egwuatu's wife, Angela, said neither of them had experienced anything like this during their childhood in Nigeria. Mrs. Eguatu, who's an immigration officer, said, quote, "At first my feelings were pure horror, and now it's pure anger." If he had been carrying a real gun, I guess the gas-powered ball-bearing pistol, that would be like a pellet gun in this country, I guess. If he had been carrying a real gun, I would have been a widow. It is just ridiculous, she said. I don't know how a person's mentality works. Why would a T-shirt get you to the point where you want to shoot someone? No one has been arrested. Mina sent that. She also wrote, "It is a sad moment, and it seems people believe that it's okay to be this discriminative. I thought we were done with apartheid in South Africa. I think it's still happening here. We have a huge Muslim bloc of voters." I don't know if she's writing from the UK or from the US. "We have a huge Muslim bloc of voters, and why are they also being discriminated? I would like my daughters to grow up knowing that as Americans," okay, she's American, "that as Americans they can run for anything, and being a Muslim shouldn't matter. This country has now turned out to be a Christian-only country, and everybody else can go to hell. Things have truly changed, and it saddens me to see that you are chastised if you are a minority." These guys, she's referring to Republicans, have started the worst negative campaign I've ever seen. But you know what goes around does truly come around. They will get what is coming to them. Keep the faith. Longtime listener, Mina. Yeah. All right. This email is from Nancy. It writes, "Mike, I truly believe that the agitators in the McCain audiences are neocon plants, and they're positioning the little troll to appear above it all by lamely defending Barack, because that's what McCain is doing now. They intend to incite a riot very soon and are laying the groundwork for their own defense. The words martial law were introduced to the public last week in conjunction with the economic crisis, and the military is in place to, quote, quell the masses, end quote. And so we're in the last stages of the coup. They make me sick, Nancy." Acorn. That's all over the news, right? The Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. I remember Acorn back in the 70s here in Atlanta, late 70s. It was an organization that here in Atlanta was going after redlining in the city of Atlanta. This is before we had, or right at the time that we, Atlanta had its first black mayor, Maynard Jackson. And the real estate companies in Atlanta practice something called redlining. You don't hear that anymore, but, or the banks, I'm sorry. The banks practice something called redlining. If you lived within certain districts, you just, of the city of Atlanta, you just could not get financing if you wanted to buy a house. You could rent. You know, the white landowner would rent you the house. Atlanta back in the 70s, when I moved back here, was very much like, I don't want to put too heavy a statement here, but it was very much like living in upscale city in South Africa someplace. Atlanta was emerging from the 50s and 60s, when I moved back here in 1972. But it was still, you know, kind of one foot back in the 60s, back in the segregation days. So the practice of redlining guaranteed pretty much that black folk in Atlanta could not buy houses in the neighborhoods they wanted to live in. Certainly not in white neighborhoods. But, you know, that misconception a lot of white people have. Well, the Negroes want to move into my neighborhood. No. The Negroes, as you put it, just want to live someplace where their kids are safe and there's decent schools. It doesn't make any difference. That's B. A, they kind of like to live where people respect them. If that means other African-Americans, okay. If it means white people, okay. But anyway, the practice of redlining was rampant in Atlanta. And Acorn started working on housing discrimination and loan, predatory lending, affordable housing. They also worked on living wages, trying to get living wages for people, and education, and more recently, Katrina Relief. Acorn is an excellent, wonderful organization. Now, as far as the charges of fraudulent voter lists, registration. And I know media, mainstream media, is just having a goddamn field day with this. Aren't they, these pigs? Aren't they? These filthy pigs. Mainstream media that would not touch the story of the Diebold voting machines or stolen elections or the kind of voter intimidation practiced by these right-wing thug bastards. Oh, okay, they touched it. That's all they would do. But this story? Oh, yeah, see, Acorn. Acorn! It's a community-based organization that advocates for low- and moderate-income families. And it works on voter registration and housing and schools and neighborhood safety and health care and job conditions. Acorn has over 350,000 members, 850 neighborhood chapters, 100 cities across the U.S. They also have offices in Argentina, Canada, Mexico, Peru. I get so sick of this. You know, I was wondering what it was going to be this time. Now it's Acorn. Now it's Acorn. Here we are a month away, not even a month. 3.5 weeks away from the election. Oh, those dirty bastards at Acorn. Look what they've done. Look what they've done. But you see, Acorn has been very effective as neighborhood organizers. They've been very effective. They've really done some incredible things. So what do you do if your campaign, like John McCain's, is in the toilet, is in the crapper, is in the ditch, is in the gutter, and your hoe is out there talking about stirring up hatred against Obama? What do you do? What do you do? Well, you try to link Barack Obama and Acorn, because you're getting a free ride on Acorn from mainstream media. Oh, voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud! You know, when will mainstream media start talking about voter suppression? When will mainstream media talk about caging? When will mainstream media talk about these filthy, filthy, goddamn Republican operatives who've stolen election after election? When will that happen? Eh?
No place to go but when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. You gotta move. You
Patriot Seekers, it's time for your humble and obedient servant, more of Mike Malloy.
Acorn, the Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now. That's the way it was stated 30 years ago, when 38 years ago when it was put together. Reform Now. Yeah, okay. How's that working out, huh? But Acorn has been one of the most active of community activist groups, one of the most well-organized. It took the old Saul Alinsky idea of organize, 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 and ran with it. And they have been very effective, and hence they have become a target of Republicans from the Justice Department all the way down to the swine in the streets, the Republican swine in the street who wind up running for public office. And, of course, their hitmen and right-wing talk radio. So now, after trying to paint Acorn as this organization that fraudulently registers voters, the next step is to link Acorn to Barack Obama, which, you know, just like linking him to Ayers, William Ayers, or linking him to Muslim insurgents, or, you know, whatever these right-wing filth can do, because they have nothing to run on. They've had 25 years of destroying the country. The last 8 have been remarkably violent. So what's left? What is John McCain and the hoe from Wasilla? What have they got? Nothing. Absolutely zero. And now that poor McCain is having to fight back against the monster he's created, watch right-wing talk radio tear him to pieces. Barack Obama never organized with Acorn. This story is coming from a guy who should be in prison, Ken Blackwell, the former Secretary of State of Ohio. The voter suppression genius, the one who probably violated just about every election law in Ohio and should be in prison for a long time. In a less tolerant society, he would have been taken out behind the provincial capital and executed. But here, you see, he gets to become a voter suppression expert now. It is he who is attacking Barack Obama with these naked lies about the connection to Acorn. Barack Obama was never an Acorn community advisor. He was never an Acorn trainer. He never worked for Acorn in any capacity. Acorn was not part of Project Vote, the successful voter registration drive that Barack ran in 1992. Now, according to release, from a website that was set up by the Obama campaign to answer all the filth and the lies that these worm-eating Republicans are putting out there, this is what it says. In his capacity as an attorney, Barack represented Acorn in a successful lawsuit alongside the U.S. Department of Justice against the state of Illinois to force state compliance with the federal voting access law. For his work helping enforce the law called the Motor Voter Act, Barack received the, whatever that stands for, Legal Eagle Award in 1995. Okay? Now, back then, the U.S. Department of Justice was still operating on the idea that the country needed a Department of Justice and it should be uncorrupted. So, Acorn and the U.S. Department of Justice filed a lawsuit against the state of Illinois to force compliance with this federal law that said people who went to get their driver's licenses could also register to vote at the same time. That's his involvement with Acorn where it concerns voter registration. That's it. Ken Blackwell, who is telling the lies, he was the Secretary of State of Ohio. He was also the chair of George Bush's Ohio campaign in 2004. He belongs in prison or worse. And as the website says, Blackwell's attacks against Acorn and community organizers continue a vile Republican pattern of mockery and viciousness against the profession, the noble profession of community organizing. Community organizers are the very individuals Republicans should be celebrating for helping people to help themselves rather than depending on the government. God, I hate these people. I don't think I have ever experienced the kind of contempt that I feel for Republicans, all Republicans. And that's probably not a fair statement on my part. But you know what? I don't give a damn anymore. You know, like some people say, well, Mike, there's still a few good Republicans. If they are good people, then they're not Republicans. They will get the hell out of this corrupt, filthy, degenerate, miserable, worm-eaten party. Get out of it. I'm not saying become a Democrat. Go form another party. That's eventually what committed liberal Democrats are going to do. They're going to get out of the corrupted Democratic Party. But in the meantime, For folks to sit around in the Republican Party with their hate and their idiocy and their ignorance, acting like, oh, well, you know, we're patriotic. We believe in the Lord. We believe in the strong military. We believe in all the good stuff. You know, you liberals, you organizers, you community organizers, what do you got running for president? You got a Negro running for president. Is that what you got? You got a Negro? Oh, my. Well, Barack Obama is going to be the next president, and I'm hoping. I know. I believe in democratic socialism. I believe that capitalism is the most corrupt, anti-family, anti-life, economic/political system ever devised. It's murderous. It is corrupt. It is a warmongering enterprise on its best days. on his worst days. It will overthrow other governments. It will assassinate leaders. It will condemn millions of children to premature death. Capitalism is filthy. It stinks. But I'm going to vote for Barack Obama because I am hoping that he will turn out to be who I think he can be. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Molloy program on the Nova M Radio Network. No, I do not work for Air America. I just our program happens to be carried by stations that carry Air America programming. Air America owes me $116,000 that they refuse to pay because they are being run by a criminal enterprise disguised as a bunch of Democrats or liberals. They are not. So a lot of times I get emails from people say, you're my favorite program on Air America. Well, I appreciate the sentiment, but I have nothing to do with Air America. They will be giving drinks of ice water in hell before I would ever have anything to do with Air America except in a courtroom. Ooh, where did that come from? Here's one for you. Go to YouTube. I want you to watch this. This half a million people have seen this, but this ought to become viral. This is great. Go look at, it's titled, Hey Sarah Palin. Go to YouTube, type in, Hey, Sarah Palin. No commas, no nothing. Hey, Sarah Palin. It's lyrics and subtitles. You'll love it. Hey, Sarah Palin. And then tell all your friends. Barbara in Camarillo, California just sent this to me. Hey, Sarah Palin. Thanks, Barbara. Kathy and I were watching it during the break. Actually singing along with it because the lyrics are there. It's great. I love it. Hey, Sarah Palin at YouTube. In a surprising letter to the editor published in the New York Times today, I saw this and I just about fell out of my chair, dropped superbeans.com coffee all over the table. The chief prosecutor of the Weather Underground in the 1970s expressed outrage over the linking of Barack Obama to Bill Ayers by the McCain campaign, adding, quote, although I dearly wanted to obtain convictions against all the weathermen, including Bill Ayers, I'm very pleased to learn that he has become a responsible citizen, end quote. Now, the guy's name is William Ibershoff. He also corrects in his letter to the editor a charge made in the New York Times news section. Ibershoff says the following, quote, I do take issue with the statement in your news article that the Weathermen indictment was dismissed because of, quote, prosecutorial misconduct, end quote. It was dismissed because of illegal activities, including wiretaps, break-ins, mail interceptions initiated by John Mitchell, Attorney General in the Nixon administration, and W. Mark Felt, an FBI assistant director, end quote. Oh, and Felt, you may have already forgotten, was also known as a guy called Deep Throat. Wiretaps, break-ins, mail interceptions, sound familiar? That's why the charges against Ayers were dropped. Now, here's the rest of the letter. As the lead federal prosecutor of the Weatherman in the 70s, I was then chief of the criminal division of the Eastern District of Michigan and took over the Weatherman prosecution in 1972. I'm amazed and outraged that Senator Barack Obama is being linked to William Ayers' terrorist activities 40 years ago when Mr. Obama was, as he has noted, a child. Although I dearly wanted to obtain convictions against all the weathermen, including Bill Ayers, I'm very pleased to learn he has become a responsible citizen. Because Senator Obama recently served on a board of a charitable organization with Mr. Ayers, cannot possibly link the senator to acts perpetrated by Mr. Ayers so many years ago. I do take issue with the statement your news was dismissed because of prosecution, blah, 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 blah. And William Ibershoff now lives in Mill Valley, California. But, you know, one more example. The person whose function was to prosecute the weathermen. And by the way, one of the reasons that John McCain's ass was not executed in Vietnam, North Vietnam, had to do with activities, anti-war activities back here in the United States. You know, the lumpy, cancerous, eaten son of a bitch talks about Jane Fonda as so many of these right-wing thugs do. Had it not been for the efforts of people like Tom Hayden and Jane Fonda and God knows how many left-wing radical activists in the 60s and 70s, McCain would have been executed as a war criminal. And God knows how many more Americans would have died. How many more names would have been on that wall in D.C.? You rolling thunder bastards make me sick to my stomach. Okay, take a deep breath. Alex writes in, Mike, I love your show. I've listened to it for 4 years now. I just heard your rant. This was last night, on the applause you heard and saw at the New York Stock Exchange. I want to correct you on something. Every day at the New York Stock Exchange, a private company turns public, and the CEO or somebody from the company gets to ring the closing bell up in that balcony. There are people from the company there, and they all applaud when this happens. So they're not cheering the market falling again, just celebrating their company going public. Keep it lit, Alex. Okay, well, thanks. I had no idea. I didn't know who those people were. Thanks, Alex. I didn't know what was going on. I thought they just went out in the street and gathered up a bunch of brain-dead Republicans that come in here and applaud. Okay. Thanks, Alex. The big story that is really, really just been totally ignored, but it was in today's Toledo Blade, Toledo newspaper. The Justice Department internal reports. The Justice Department is calling for more investigation into a case of unethical, if not criminal, conduct on the part of lawmakers in the White House. But the Bush administration is lucky, as its Treasury and Federal Reserve chiefs warned the sky was falling and the economic crash and continuing tumult on Wall Street made them seem prophetic, the Justice Department released a nearly 400-page scalding indictment of the Bush crime family over the controversial firings of several U.S. attorneys in 2006. The report has been overlooked in breaking news cycles, preoccupied with financial crisis, rescue plans, presidential politics, and a vice presidential debate. But what the Justice Department's investigation and blistering report concluded about the enormous damage done to the department, Justice Department, through improper politicization, I always have trouble with that one, is far more troubling than even Sarah Palin in disjointed attack mode. Investigators from both the Justice Department's Office of Inspector General and the Office of Professional Responsibility found that political pressure did indeed drive the dismissive action against at least three of the nine federal prosecutors abruptly fired. At the time, then-Attorney General Gonzalez insisted the individuals were all dismissed for inadequate performance or failure to implement the president's law enforcement agenda. But it appears that Gonzalez was lying through his teeth. Turns out the real reason some of these top federal lawyers were removed from the job, according to the Justice Department's own report, was that either these U.S. attorneys had the audacity to prosecute Republicans or because they failed to aggressively prosecute Democrats, against whom the charges were bogus. One example, former governor of Alabama. You know that case. Either way, their behavior ticked off well-connected GOP politicians who had come to expect a politically loyal Justice Department. Blah, 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 blah. Now there are official findings of fact about the politically charged dismissals of U.S. attorneys conducted to satisfy a White House agenda. Scandal-weary Americans may be inclined to dismiss yet another administration disgrace, but what happened at the Justice Department is too big a deal to ignore. Let's hope that this story, as they say in the news biz, develops legs. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
In the grass, he's a lover of life, but a player of pawns. Yes, the king on a sunset lies waiting for dawn to light up the jungle as players resume. The monkeys see willing to strike up the tune. But let's bungle in the
other Supreme Court decisions do you disagree with?
Well, let's see. There's, of course, in the great history of America, there have been rulings that, you know, going through the history of America, there would be others.
Such as. Oh, my God. Nancy in Ohio writes, Mike, I feel shame. How can Ohioans shout terrorists, kill him, and describe Obama as being from the bloodline? Watching the videos of people attending the McCain-Palin rally earlier this week in Strongsville, Ohio, made me sick to my stomach. Nancy in Ohio. Yeah, I'm from Ohio, too, Nancy. I hear you loud and clear. Has there ever been a campaign, even ones run by these right-wing monsters, where the nominee of the Democratic Party, selected by tens of millions of Americans to be that nominee, has been labeled a terrorist by the Republicans? Has that ever occurred in the history of this country? I think the answer to that is no. I know there's been a lot of garbage that flies back and forth. The Republicans, of course, are the ones who, I firmly believe, the ones who started it, unless you want to go back to the Goldwater Johnson campaign in 64. Everybody refers to that commercial with the little girl picking petals off of a daisy while the countdown and then the mushroom cloud. But the fact is that commercial ran one time. And you have to remember, I'm not making excuses for it. You have to remember the state of American television in 1963 or 64. Oh, my God. Come on. Get real. So the Republicans are the ones who have taken the worst aspects of this political system. They have taken refuge behind the very First Amendment, the very same First Amendment that they would deny to people who want to petition their government for redress of grievances, to peacefully assemble, you filthy bastards. And they hide behind that. They say, well, this is the First Amendment. Ah, you scum. Has there ever been a campaign where the nominee of the Democratic Party has been called a terrorist by the nominees of the Republican Party? To the point where the rage and the frenzy and the spittle is just flying at these hate fests, these grungy disgusting so-called town hall meetings that John McCain has on the floor with these pigs, handing them a microphone so they can ask questions that had to come from the hellish recesses of these right-wing radio talk show hosts. Obama's an Arab, so what? Obama's a Muslim, so what? Obama is not an American. Oh, really? What's his middle name? On and on, endlessly. God, I'll be so glad when this is over. Won't you? I'm sure you saw the story. We're missing so many things because we're covering this sump hole of a Republican presidential attacks on Barack Obama. The Maryland State Police classified 53 nonviolent activists as terrorists, entered their names and personal information into state and federal databases that track terrorism suspects. Did you see this? This is in the Washington Post the other day, Wednesday, I think. Police Superintendent Terrence Sheridan revealed at a legislative hearing that the surveillance operation, which targeted opponents of the death penalty and the Iraq War, was far more extensive than was known when its existence was disclosed in July. The department started sending letters of notification last Sunday to these activists, inviting them to review their files before they are purged from the databases, the police superintendent said. He told the Senate Judicial Proceedings Committee, "The names don't belong there. It's as simple as that." Well, you Nazi son of a bitch, why did you put them in there to begin with? Or allow them to stay? The former state police superintendent who authorized the operation, Thomas Hutchins, defended the program in testimony yesterday. Hutchins said the program was a bulwark against potential violence and called the activists fringe people. Fringe people. Do you want to know who some of the fringe people were? Well, just wait a couple of minutes here, and when we come back from this break, I'll tell you. A couple of people that the Maryland State Police Commissioner identified as terrorists and referred to as fringe people and placed their names on a national watch list. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The airspace of the United States of America, where do they go? It's Alaska. It's just right over the border.
Okay, the Maryland State Police decided to classify 53 nonviolent activists as terrorists. Just doing that fascist little snotty-ass Gestapo thing, right? And entered their names and personal information into state and federal databases that track terrorism suspects. The state police chief acknowledged last Tuesday, he was at a hearing, a legislative hearing, about this surveillance operation. It turns out it always turns out this way. The operation was far more extensive than was known when its existence was disclosed in July. Well, of course. I mean, any time a government starts spying on its own people, what? 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 It's going to be 10 or 12? Are you serious? What, it's going to be 100? Look, fascism is like cancer, like terminal cancer. Once it gets started, it doesn't stop. Fascism is cancer. And that's what we have in this country now. But anyway, the state police department started sending letters last Saturday to these activists saying, oops, sorry, we're going to purge the records. You want to come and see what we had on you? Huh? And the former state police superintendent, the current state superintendent, police superintendent, said the names don't belong in there. It's as simple as that. And, of course, my question to this thug would be, well, why didn't you take them out? But the former state police superintendent who authorized the operation, one Thomas Hutchins, defended the program in testimony on Tuesday. He said the program was a bulwark. It's a bulwark against potential violence. And called the activists fringe people. Well, let me introduce you to two of the fringe people. Sister Carol Gilbert and Sister Ardith Platt. have been secretly branded by Maryland State Police as terrorists and placed on this national watch list due to their participation in anti-war protest activities. Anti-war, the kind of thing that Jesus Christ would be involved in. Sister Carol Gilbert, Sister Ardith Platt. Sister Ardith told the Washington Times yesterday in the first interview that the women have given since being informed that they were among 53 people added to this terrorist watch list. Sister Ardith, who has been a nun for 54 years, 5'4", 54 years she's been a nun, she told the Washington Times, quote, "This term terrorist is a really serious accusation," end quote. She went on to say, quote, "There is no way that we ever want to be identified as terrorists. We are nonviolent. We are faith-based," end quote. Sister Carol Gilbert said in the article, quote, "Democracy is built on these elements of being able to speak out, to speak what we believe is truth," end quote. There's more. Rusty sent this to me. There's more. The spying on these people occurred during the administration of Governor Robert Ehrlich Jr., who, oh no, he's a Republican. Well, isn't that a surprise? So there you have two terrorists, Sister Carol Gilbert and Sister Ardith Platt, one of whom has been a nun for 54 years. Oh, and get this, the according to the state police, both Sister Carol Gilbert and Sister Platt, Ardith Platt, their names were entered into the state police databases as terrorists, partly because the software offered limited options for classifying entries. Two Catholic nuns. One who obviously is in her 70s. Jan writes, "Mike, I received this from a friend of mine. Sure makes sense. And here's what it is. Senior citizens who vote for McCain should be required to renounce any claim to Social Security or Medicare. Let's make it quite simple. Any person over 65 who votes for McCain should first be required to renounce both programs. Why? It's simple. McCain's largest age group of support by percentage is Americans over the age of 65. Since McCain and the Republican Party have as their main message, other than we are the people of white people, we're the party of white people, their main message is shrinking the size of government and letting everyone sink or swim on their own. I do believe, the writer says, that seniors who vote for McCain are entitled. I do not believe that seniors who vote for McCain are entitled to Medicare or Social Security. And that's just for starters, as far as government support of the elderly. John McCain himself proudly collects and cashes his Social Security check, as well as receiving a disability check from the government. He also has received government medical care for decades. In fact, McCain's entire adult life, except for a brief period of time when he worked for his wife's beer distributorship, McCain's entire adult life has been on the public payroll. In short, we the taxpayers have paid for McCain's salary and benefits. Now, you'd think, wouldn't you, that with a fortune worth over $100 million, that he might sign over his Social Security check to charity? No, not McCain. Not Lumpy. And there's a reason for it, of course. Cindy made him sign a prenup. Yeah. So I'll start believing Snake Eyes when she absolves Lumpy of the prenuptial agreement that he had to sign to keep his filthy goddamn PTSD fingers off of her mob-supported alcoholic fortune. You didn't know that, did you? The writer here goes on, McCain is a glaring, gluttonous example of the Republican Party's denouncing socialist government programs but benefiting from them at every turn. There's only a couple of communist countries left in the world, and the Marxist ideology is basically dead and buried. But go to cafepress.com and see how many buttons and stickers claim that liberals, like Obama, are communists! So here's the nut of it. If you're a senior citizen in a trailer park or even in a luxurious condo in the Sarasota-Bradenton area, and you talk over your bingo games and in your barbershops about what a liberal socialist threat Barack Obama is to America, we have a suggestion for you. Go burn your Medicare card and your Social Security card and send a letter to the government informing them that you are now going to personally pay your own goddamn bills for health care and you want no more Social Security checks sent to you. See how easy it is to reject socialism in your life? Huh? Go ahead. Let's see one of you do it, you hypocritical old bastards. Oh, and when you get too feeble to live on your own, remember that you can't sign your assets over to your children and then have Medicaid pay for your nursing home care because that's socialism too, right? So, save your money because that nursing home care gets costly without the government covering it. Oh, and by the way, if the $700 billion socialism for Wall Street scheme doesn't work and your bank collapses with your life savings down the toilet, tell Washington that you don't want them to insure your savings because that's socialism. You'll just go ahead and eat the loss of your retirement savings because you're a John McCain sort of person. Oh, and if you're a senior for McCain because you want to prevent dreaded liberal socialism from spreading and you're disabled, please return your government disability check to the Treasury. You can see, you can personally strike against big government all by yourself. All you have to do, you old bastard, is send the check back. Huh? You gonna do that? Oh, and if you get senior discounts on public transportation, stop taking them. Demand that you pay the full amount in your crusade against socialism. And when you need rehabilitation home care because you fall and break your hip, tell the big brother government to take a hike. You'll pay for it your own damn self. And then die of a blood clot in your lung. We can go on and on here about the personal actions seniors who support McCain and the Republican war against the welfare state can take to get rid of socialism. There's so many of them that I'm sure some of you will want to just write down what I said and take advantage of it and start returning checks and cards. Any volunteers? Huh? Any volunteers? Hey, you in the back!
Come on, you old bastard!
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew, Ian Huff, Ben Birch, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, and our executive producer, Catherine Bay, for all the sterling efforts for the program this week. Email from Prairie 2. Mike, the wiping out of $7 trillion of stock market value is capturing everyone's attention. But the more troubling news is the rapid decline of commodities. Copper is down 40%, silver is down 30%, wheat is down 40%, only gold is up from last year. Across the board, price drops indicate a sharp decline in factory output can be expected. General Motors' total value is less than it was in 1929 and is expected to close additional factories. Whirlpool has announced the immediate layoff of 20% of its workers when it was planning to expand. eBay, whose CEO McCain mentioned in the last debate as a possible Treasury secretary, has pink-slipped 10% of its workers. The spiral is tightening as businesses lay off large numbers of workers. Demand declines, and the uncertainty this causes reduces demand further. Heavily leveraged businesses will start to fail, putting more people out of work, and the uncertainty increases, gradually turning to depression. The rate of home foreclosures is accelerating, with one occurring every 15 seconds. The sheriff for Des Moines, Iowa, has a four-month backlog. Obama is running a TV ad in Iowa that details his economic and tax plan that runs a full 2 minutes long. He now has a 16-point lead in Iowa over the erratic McCain, whose public appearances are taking on the tenor of a lynch mob that he is not always able to control. Angry questioners are demanding action and sometimes talk over the hapless McCain. P.S. Just in, the New York Times is saying the private equity firm that owns Chrysler is attempting to gobble up GM. This is being billed as the merger of two struggling companies, but with GM valued at less than it was in 1929, it's really privateers, that's piracy made legal, taking GM private for pennies on the dollar. Disaster capitalism at its best, and they'll get billions in bailout money to boot. Stand to and prepare to be boarded. Now, interestingly, and I'm sure most of you know this, the private equity firm that now owns Chrysler, Daimler, bailed out. Chrysler couldn't survive on its own. So a private equity firm, you know, it's none of your business who we are, how much money we got. We bought it. Screw you. The private equity firm that owns Chrysler is a company called Cerberus, C-E-R-B-E-R-U-S, Cerberus. And, of course, from Greek mythology, Cerberus was one of the dogs of hell, a monstrous three-headed dog. If you've ever seen a picture of Cerberus, it's scary. But Cerberus was the hound of hell, had a snake for a tail, and snakes down his back like a mane. In other cultures, Cerberus is referred to as a hellhound. Other hellhounds included Orthus, a two-headed brother. Cerberus guarded the gate to hell and ensured that spirits of the dead could enter, but none could exit. Cerberus is often described as once an ordinary pup when he was mutated and captured by hell to guard the gates across the river Styx. Oh, and he has an appetite for live meat or flesh and attacks anyone but spirits. Cerberus owns Chrysler and is about to own GM. Be afraid. Be very afraid. It's incredible. We saw that, when was it, Kathy, today or yesterday? GM stock under $5 a share? General Motors? The behemoth of the 40s and 50s and 60s? Wasn't General Motors, Bill Gates and Microsoft and Walmart, wasn't at one time General Motors the largest corporate entity on earth? I think it was, if I'm not mistaken. General Motors provided us with Mitt Romney, his father, George Romney. Wasn't George Romney the former head of General Motors, who was going to run as a Republican nominee for president back in, 68? Made a trip, 72, I don't know, 68, I guess, made a trip to Vietnam and came back and said that he'd been brainwashed by American media and the U.S. military into believing that we were succeeding. This is back when there were a few Republicans left who still had a moral sense. I'm not saying it was the right moral sense, but they had a moral sense. And didn't General Motors provide Charles Wilson, who at one time was... It was Eisenhower, Secretary of Defense? Yeah, Romney was the governor. That's right, he was the governor of Michigan. But didn't he come out of General Motors? I think he did. And I think it was Charlie Wilson who said that what's good for GM is good for America, or something like that. I don't know. You know, it doesn't matter. Don't send me the proper quote if you know what it is. I frankly don't give a damn. But the point I'm trying to make is GM at one time was... American capitalism defined. American manufacturing defined. The engine of industrial strength defined. And now you can buy shares for $5. Of course, the question is, who wants them? All right, let's try to get together Monday night. God only knows what's going to happen. Oh, I'll be here, but God only knows what's going to happen Monday. I'll see you Monday night. All right, take care. Really, take care. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. I'm going